Father James, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you on this Holy Monday.
Good morning, John. Yes, happy Holy Monday.
Father James, first of all, for our listeners that may not have been with us last time, can you give us just a real brief recap of a couple of the characters that we did talk about? Pontius Pilate, Simon of Cyrene, Veronica, and Joseph of Arimathea. Can you give us brief summary of those characters?
Right, and then I'll also, just kind of give a quick summary, too, of the way of the cross, the stations of the cross, why it's such an important spiritual exercise. We have these various characters along the way, starting with Pontius Pilate, like you mentioned, and then Veronica in the sixth station, Simon of Cyrene, Joseph of Arimathea at the very end. Everyone has a different role to play. I think all of us in our spiritual lives are given different gifts and talents, and we're called to different styles of prayer, different acts of devotion to the Lord. Some of us might be more contemplative. Think of Mary sitting at the foot of the cross, at foot of Jesus, or more Martha's active. So we see Veronica, going forth to behold the face of Christ, something we all desire to see the Lord and to have His face imprinted on our hearts. Simon of Cyrene is more muscle man, if you will. He picks up the cross and he carries it, allowing Jesus to go and do his ministry. Joseph Arimathea, in his wealth and his influence, goes to Pontius Pilate at the end to request the body of Jesus and then loans the Lord his tomb. So a lot of opportunities for us to see how Jesus is calling us in particular to pray. And the other thing about the station of the cross, John, so in spiritual theology, not to get too intense here, but we have what are called the apophatic way or the cataphatic way of praying. So apophatic would be more contemplative, silent, versus cataphatic is sometimes called discursive way of praying, more mental prayer. If we're not all called to be monks, especially those of us who have responsibilities in the world, and so we can't just necessarily be intense mystics. And so what the church gives us, kind of the left hook and the right hook for active way of praying would be the way of the cross and the rosary. And I know Relevant Radio, does a great job with the rosary in particular. So when we pray the way of the cross, the stations of the cross, and we pray the rosary, we are engaging a spiritual life. It might not be, again, as we might not think it's as profound as like those monks and or sisters in cloister, but it is a way for us to sanctify our daily lives. So we do this particularly on Fridays in Lent with the Stations of the Cross.
Well, Father James, let's talk about Barabbas, the notorious prisoner who was released instead of Jesus. What can you tell us about his role in the Stations of the Cross?
Well, it's kind of a similar debate with Judas. I mean, these men were sinners, but they play a role in allowing Jesus to undergo his passion to redeem the world. Jesus had the chance to be released. Obviously, we know the story. Barabbas is chosen instead. He's a revolutionary. He's a murderer. I think of that that line from Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." Christ, and I think all of us should choose death. I'm not talking about go commit suicide, but spiritual death, laying our lives down like Jesus, like St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And Barabbas was given liberty so Christ could be given death. And Christ was undergoing death so that we all really could be set free and be true sons and daughters of God. So without Barabbas being set free, we don't have Jesus and his redemption of the human race.
St. Paul tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God in many ways. We're all a type of Barabbas. We all have something in common with him because Jesus died for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm. We don't really know the story too much about what happened to Barabbas. Actually, there was a movie, I think it was in the 50s or 60s, called Barabbas. It's sort of like a Ben-Hur type movie. It follows the life of Barabbas after the movie starts with him being released. And and how he goes on and, you know, eventually maybe becomes a disciple. Hopefully that's what would happen to Barabbas. But a man who was swept up in his sins and in egotism and trying to be a political revolutionary, basically, to free Israel from Roman power, but it wasn't really bringing him peace. But eventually he hopefully saw the light, and each one of us too. We have our ways of trying to conquer the world, but eventually we simply want to do the will of God. That's the way to be set free.
Well, Father James, let's talk about a real disciple, the beloved disciple, St. John, with the Blessed Mother Mary at the foot of the cross. He's obviously very special in Scripture. He was faithful to the very end. What can you tell us about St. John, the beloved disciple?
And I hope we can follow up with St. John in after Easter to cover some of like the Easter resurrection characters. And John would certainly be one. So he's great, because, and same with St. Peter, of course, as they run to the tomb. But John is the contemplative. Think of the Last Supper at Jesus' right or his left, and reclining on the breast of Jesus, listening. He's the one that recognizes the Lord after the resurrection, when their faces are veiled. Why? Because John knew the heart of Christ. I've mentioned this before. So at St. Paul of the Cross, we have that beautiful statue of the crucifixion with Mary, the Blessed Mother, and John at the foot, and they're actually veiled right now. We did that on the fifth Sunday of Lent. But it's a beautiful image of St. John, and he's gazing up at the heart of the pierced side of Christ, and his look is one of utter love and devotion and intensity. It's like nothing else is going on around him. And so when there's a lot of noise in our lives, especially this week, John gives us the invitation to be still and silent and focus on the heart of Jesus. He died for you specifically and for me, every one of us. And John can help us really appreciate that and return an act of love.
And obviously there's that powerful moment from the seven last words of our Lord on the cross, when he says to the Blessed Mother, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother."
Invitation for all of us to have a relationship to the Blessed Mother, and to obviously be like St. John ourselves. Everyone is capable. I was just talking about cataphatic and apophatic prayer, but all of us are capable of being, I think, mystics deep inside, people who really, we all want to love, and we all want to love the Lord, and John can help us do that. You know, another, you know, interesting kind of contrast to John is, and I don't know, John, if you were going to bring him up, but Nicodemus, and also a brief mentioned woman, Joanna. Joanna, she's called the myrrh bearer. So we know Nicodemus, he was the Pharisee. He went and saw Jesus in the middle of the night, and then he goes and requests permission also with Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus' body down from the cross, and he brings 100 pounds of aloes and myrrh to anoint the body of Jesus. So this is a lot of spice, 100 pounds. And we hear Joanna, who was the wife of Chuza, and Chuza was the steward of King Herod. Joanna helps Nicodemus carry those spices, and then along with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James, and then the Blessed Mother, they anoint the body of Jesus before they lay him in the tomb. So it's really interesting, these little connections. Nicodemus is helping. He's obviously now come, his faith is now in the light, when he was hiding his faith in the dark. Remember, he goes to see Jesus at nighttime. Now he's out in the open with it. Joanna, we never hear her speak, but she works. She does her job by anointing the body of Jesus. And she surely would have heard and maybe been present when Jesus was being questioned in the palace of Herod, when he was brought after Pilate first questioned him. So she would have seen the silence of the Lord before Herod, and she would have taken that silence to heart and simply, like St. Francis said, you know, preach the gospel, use words if necessary.
There's a couple of other interesting characters, unnamed soldiers in the Passion story, but two especially have a role. In fact, one of them is depicted in the Passion of the Christ.
right? We have, well, Longinus, of course, St. Longinus, the centurion who spears the side of Christ. Again, a beautiful character to pray with. Open the side of the Lord when water and blood poured forth. Some will say that's actually the beginning of the church, the sacraments. But Longinus likewise experiences a conversion. And there's another, not a movie, but a novel this time called The Spear by Louis de Wolle. He was a Catholic writer in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's a great story about St. Longinus and his life after spearing the side of Christ and the disciple that he becomes. But an image, also an icon for us to open up that side of Christ and have that personal relationship with the Lord, with his Sacred Heart.
I remember when my son was little, he dressed up as St. Longinus on All Saints Day. It was so cute, dressed up as a centurion and depicting this St. Longinus who was there at the foot of the cross. One other one that I'd like to talk about as well is the penitent thief who was crucified along Jesus, who our Lord also has something really important to say to him.
Of course, Dismas, as he's known in the tradition, Saint Dismas. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I love Dismas. He's the, to me, the patron of the present moment. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I mean, how many of us are anxious and worried? Anxiety, worry, fear, it's all stuff about the future. You know, what's going to happen to our world? What's going to happen in Ukraine? What's going to happen with my job? My children. And I mean, we should care about the future, but eventually fear, and that's why Jesus says so often, don't be afraid. It pulls us away from the present moment. It pulls us away from God encountering us right now. And Dismas, he's not worried about the future. I mean, he's got nothing, you know, after he's going to die soon. Just, Lord, remember me and have me on your heart and mind, Jesus, right now. And that's why Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. You are with me. You are on my heart. And so any of us who worry about the future and struggle to surrender, Dismas can be our patron.
And Dismas is also a reminder that it's not over till it's over. It was down to the very last moment he had that on the cross conversion. He rebuked the other thief, and he's in paradise.
Absolutely. Dismas's name in Greek, it means sunset, and we all know what happens. There's that eclipse of the sun on that Good Friday afternoon, and so, but you think, you know, the sunset might seem the end of the day, but it's also incredibly beautiful. I mean, we haven't seen the sun shining too lately in Chicago, but, you know, if you've been to Florida or whatever, you see, you know, the purple and the gold, the vault, and like you said, that sunset is just beginning our new life with Christ, whether it's a conversion this life or our entrance into paradise.
Just a final thought of what we can learn from the good thief about repentance and about the infinite ocean of mercy of our Lord.
Oh, yeah, I like that, infinite ocean of mercy. You can be lost in it. That's what St. Paul of the Cross, he writes often about that. He says, I just want to be lost in the infinite ocean of God's love and mercy. Like you said, John, it's not over. There's hope for every one of us. And like you were saying earlier, confession is such a beautiful, there's an understatement right there, a beautiful sacrament, and no better time this week to go to confession and have Jesus tell you your sins are forgiven and today you will be with me in paradise. Regardless of how grave your sin is.
Absolutely. Father, I made it a special point to wait in a long line yesterday, but I went to confession, and the lines were off the charts at St. John Kansas down in the city where I went to yesterday. And again, just want to encourage our listeners, if you can't find a way to get to confession before a Good Friday, it'll be a good Lent. Father James, thanks for your perspective, your take on all of these many characters. We could do a whole show on the most important of all the characters, and that's our Blessed Mother Mary, who suffered with Jesus the whole way, but we'll have to talk about her at another occasion. But thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you. God bless you all.
Thank you. Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago.